Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RXMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Watch out!
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name's Dave Palumbo, and I'm here as always with John Romano in the RX Muscle Studios. It is April 25th, and we are currently less than a week out from the Pittsburgh Pro Show, John.
Yeah, and then right after that, the great, highly anticipated New York Pro Show.
Yeah, the contest season is fully underway now, and we actually have contests to talk about, which we didn't have for a few months.
Yeah. No, we let rest our material for later.
Well, yeah, we have so much material that we can diversify a little bit, and there's been a lot of news going on in the bodybuilding world. You know, FIBO took place in Germany this past weekend, and some of the biggest names in the sport were out there. I understand Ronnie Coleman was out there. I'm sure Jay Cutler was out there. I know Chris Cormier was out there. Victor Martinez, Kai Green, Evan Santapani, and Dexter Jackson actually texted me. You know, we talked to each other every once in a while, and he actually said, "Did you hear what happened?" And I'm like, "In Germany? No, I didn't. What happened?" He told me that Chris Cormier and Victor Martinez had a fight.
Wow.
You don't hear over
a girl.
I think it was over a girl.
Over a girl.
I think it was over a girl from a while ago. I don't think it's a recent girl.
No, for a one from a while ago. It would have to be.
Now, the funny thing is, we haven't, you know, back in the day with Mike Quinn and all the tough guys, there was a lot of fights on a regular basis, and no one really fights anymore. And Victor seems like a pretty mellow guy to me, and Chris really doesn't seem like a fighter as well.
Well, Chris was a badass from back in the day. I knew him as a doorman, and Chris can handle his business. So, I know damn well Victor can too, so I'm sure it was a clash of the titans. I would love to have seen it.
Well, according to Dexter, you know, or at least, you know, what he heard, because he didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
Someone said that Victor got the better of the deal, but I don't know. Bodybuilders fighting are just like, I don't really see it, because, you know, they're so big, and it just seems like they almost can't hurt each other, because they would get winded too fast. Yeah. I would think, you know,
I think the last incident was when Craig Titus cold cocked Melvin Anthony in the lobby.
That wasn't a fight. That was a cheap shot.
Yeah, I'm saying it was the last incident. Yeah. So
I don't know.
Did this go like six rounds? I mean, how big of a fight was it?
I don't know. No one. I haven't gotten any information from anyone. Mm-hmm. I guess we'd have to call the source, you know, maybe, and ask.
Now, let's see. Who's Cormier under contract with?
I think we can't even talk to these freaking guys. It's terrible.
You know, it's like, it's huge news, and then no one. Now, if their respective handlers don't report it, nobody can know.
I know. Well, I'm sure we'll get the scoop.
Imagine if Angelina Jolie had that problem.
That's right. We didn't have our paparazzi. Well, I did have a paparazzi. I do have a guy who took pictures, and I should have the FIBO pictures up, actually, by the time this episode airs.
We can't let this slide. We're going to need to interrogate everybody we know and find out what
happened. This sounds like a John Romano investigative reporting story, if I've ever seen one.
I'll call Chris and ask him.
And you can call Victor too, I guess, also. Does he talk to you, Victor?
Victor and I talk, but I'm closer with Chris.
Yeah, maybe I'll call Victor.
Yeah, you're closer with Victor.
Speaking about badasses, our friend Scott Siegel, you know, the guy who was in The Wrestler, we've talked about him before, got sentenced to 5 years.
Oh, he only got five?
He only got 5 years,
Wow, he was looking at way more than that.
Yeah. So,
Who was Rick his lawyer?
No, actually, Rick wasn't his lawyer, but he had a really good lawyer, and they said he got lucky.
You're damn right, because he was looking at like 15.
Or at least 10, yeah. And I don't think he's going to be going. I think he's going to be going to a low security, which is good.
Was it a federal beef?
Yes, it's federal.
So he's got to do 85%.
Pretty much, yeah. But he already did 14 months, so.
I mean, so he's almost done.
He's only got three years left.
He's got a little vacation ahead of him.
I don't know. He's in better spirits, though, so really? I just want to send my best out to him.
Yeah, it's always a relief to know that you got half of what you were supposed to get.
Yeah. Now, you know, a lot of people have been responding favorably to my father's stories, my dad's stories I've been telling, you know, all the stories about the crazy stuff he's been doing as he's hit 80 years old. For some reason, my father was the most logical, sane person I knew growing up, and he just became like a real character as he got older, and he's doing some really funny stuff. You know, he called me the other day really depressed, and I thought, you know, he's got this arthritis in his neck, and I think he's going to complain to me about how much pain he's in again. And of course, he gave me a little bit of this hurts, but his biggest concern is, and you, I think you know this about my dad, he's and Jeff knows this too, my father's obsessed with the TV. And it's funny, my father cannot turn a light switch on because he claims he's not mechanically inclined, but he can work the DVD player and the TV out of necessity.
Right,
because this is his life.
He's got to play all those porn tapes.
The porn tapes. And all, he has a collection of old movies now. My father has like as many DVDs as Dexter Jackson does. You know, he feels that if he collects these movies they're memories that can't escape him now.
Right.
He has seriously probably like 200 movies. You know, these are legitimate movies. I don't even know what his porn movie collection is, because like I told you, he stashes them in his drawers.
Well, so when Jeff moves in, he'll be able to sort through them and Jeff categorize them.
They can have porn night. They can, you know, pop a bowl of popcorn and
open the drawers and
one's called Manny Faye Anchorman. It's a silent movie.
He's got him.
That's the drunk version of my father.
All right. After you have to go to the sushi bar and have a couple of drinks.
Right, exactly. Now, so my father calls me up in a panic. He lost the remote controls to his TV, but he can't remember the name remote control. So he's like, I lost those things, you know, those things, three of them. I lost them. I'm like, Dad, what are you talking about? I lost them. You know, the thing that, what is that thing called for the TV? I'm like, the remote controls? He's like, yeah, I can't find them. Three of them. I'm like, Dad, but you haven't left the house in like a week. They got to be in the house someplace, right? No shit. He's like, I can't find them. I've been looking for 3 hours. I'm like, Dad, they're not like small, like watches or anything like that. He's like, I can't watch TV. My life is shit. My neck hurts. I can't even control the TV now. He goes, you got to come over here. I'm like, Dad, it's like 3 a.m. I'm not coming over there to look for the remote controls right now. I said, it would be a different story if you were in distress and pain and you needed me to, you know, come help you. You fell or something like that.
To him, it's the same thing.
He's like, well, you got to get here tomorrow morning. I'm like, Dad, you don't even wake up until like 3 o'clock. So he's like, well, you better come by. I said, well, call me if you find the remotes, okay? Before that, so I don't come by for no reason. So maybe an hour and a half passes. It's like 4:30. I'm exhausted. I'm ready to go to sleep now. And the phone rings. Now, when the phone rings that late, it can only be one of two people. It could either be my dad or Jeff.
Okay? Or me.
Yeah, or you're, even your, that's 4 o'clock is usually your limit.
Yeah, I'm
Jeff and my father are up in the 4:30 range.
Yeah, we're a nocturnal.
So it's my dad, of course. And he's like, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, did you find the remotes? Because I just don't want to go. Oh, I have to go over there tomorrow. You know, he's like, yeah, there's a story. I'm like, well what's the story? Well, you know, you can't just tell me where they were. He's like, well, last night I decided I was going to clean out all my drawers. Everything. So I was dumping them all. I said, that's what you have, porn tapes in all the drawers. He's like, oh, I got one drawer. I got junk. You know, I got old pictures and then watches and jewelry. So I guess he was cleaning his drawers out. And he has a tie drawer. So I guess he poured all the ties out and he started setting them up again. And he must have, I don't know how he had all three remote controls in his hand, but he put the remote controls in the drawer
with the ties.
With the ties, and he thought when he was looking for, you know, when he actually went looking for the remotes, he actually did look in the drawer, but he thought that they were black ties because you know how ties look when they kind of can. If your vision is going and you have cataracts like him, and you won't refuse to get the surgery, a remote can look like a tie. So he had the three remotes in one of his tie drawer, and that's where it was the whole time. So he was very happy he found them. Needless to say, and I didn't have to go over to his house the next day, so I got off the hook. Now, I guess the big weighing on our back here is Derek Anthony.
Yeah.
Here we fucking go again. I can't go a fucking day. Look, I'm losing my fucking mind. Can't you fucking guys just leave me alone for one fucking week?
Now, I didn't want to bring him up at all because this kind of, it's the whole Derek Anthony thing has gotten very negative in my mind, and it's not contributing positively to the boards or to the radio show, but I want to just address it, you know, briefly at least. I think, you know, you want to address it as well, because we were forced to ban him from the message boards. We didn't want to do this. You know, when we took the radio show away, we really didn't take the radio show away as much as we did give him the opportunity to do another radio show.
Let's clarify something right there.
Mm-hmm.
His banning was not done by me.
No, there was not.
Okay, so we all understand that. John Romano did not ban Derek Anthony.
No, Sally Ann, our head moderator, banned him.
Right, and why did she do that?
Well, because he violated the rules. And exactly. I gave him the speech several times about 4 or 5 days in a row. Derek, you're a great kid. I love you and everything like that, but you got to have to start acting like an adult. You have to be responsible for your actions and what you say to people. Please, please just lay low, relax, you know, do your thing that you're good at, and just respect people. I had this talk with him many times, and he never lasted more than, what, 2 hours?
So pretty much, John Romano had nothing to do with Derek Anthony being banned.
No.
Okay, you heard that.
Well, the way Derek
Jeff,
Anthony
you hear was, that?
I'm gonna you want to take this outside, Romano?
Fuck, I want to take it right now, motherfucker.
The way Derek got banned was I told him at some point after he kept violating everything I was telling him, I said, all right, now you're a regular person. So now you have no lifelines left. And if you break the rules, you're going to get banned.
No get out of jail free card.
I told Sally and the moderators, if he does things he shouldn't be doing, you know, there's no immunity. You guys do what you got to do. And, you know, what did he last? 3 hours?
I thought it was like 45 minutes.
He might have lasted 45 minutes. You're right.
By the time the whole thing took place, it was 3 hours. But I think he fucked up within 45 minutes.
And then right after he did that, he called me up and told me that I left you in my will.
Now, wait. How old are you?
Yeah, I'm 15 years older than him. I'm 42. He's 28. He's leaving me in his will. As if, like, I should say, wow, I'm going to inherit a lot of money one day when I die before he does.
His fucking Corvette and his house out east.
Yeah, so those will all be there
in the will.
When he's dead. And another funny thing was that he told me that he's claiming now that he visited me. He was the only person to visit me in jail when I was in jail, which is ironic because no one visited me in jail. And because I told him not to, and I never even got a letter from him in jail.
It's not ironic.
He didn't even send me a postcard.
It's not ironic. It's pure bullshit.
Well, he didn't do that. Anyway,
he's just a pathological liar. He has no cognizant view of the truth. He doesn't know what it is. It's temporal. It flows in and out. It's like he sees things, and then he, like a freaking mirage, and then he reports on it.
I think he just doesn't think before
he acts. He's out of his fucking mind.
He did some pretty crappy stuff to us. You know, I don't wish him bad. I wish him the best. I hope, you know, his health is improving. He feels good. I hope his new radio show is successful, but I really just don't want anything to do with him anymore.
Me neither.
So let's leave it at that, you know.
Okay. Unless it's at the end of my fist.
Well, you know, I don't even think you want that. I think we just want him to go his way. We're going to go our way, and then that's going to be the end of it. You know, unfortunately, you know, he forced his hand and he caused this to happen. And no regrets.
You know, that's really the real answer to the question of who banned Derek Anthony.
Derek Anthony
banned Derek Anthony.
Yep.
Because he cannot, impossible, cannot follow any rule whatsoever.
Well, he just, you know,
it's either his way or no way.
Right.
And then if it's not his way, then you're disloyal, you don't have his back, you're all of these terrible things that, you know, are indicative of someone who is a bad friend or you know, not a good human being or whatever, because you didn't act according to Derek's law.
Well, and he showed me that he was not a loyal person, and he lied a lot, and I don't forgive that. You know that. You could do a lot of things. You can cheat me out of money. You can say shit behind my back. But if you become disloyal to me, I wipe you out of my life.
He's done.
Yeah. With Derek Anthony in mind, okay, we can attribute this next story to him.
Wait. Let's talk about how he wants it back in. And now the upshot of this whole thing is that after all of this shit he dumps on us, he wants back in.
Well, of course, because he heard the new Whack Pack show that doesn't have him on it now, and that, doesn't he think that it sucks with Adam, Jeff?
I mean, I'm sure he's missing it, but, you know.
I actually listened to the show, and I'm going to be honest with you. This is my honest opinion, Jeff, because, you know.
Yeah.
I know
everybody bear in mind, this is show number one.
Show number one.
Right.
They did one show, and I think they're going to call it Whack Pack Uncensored.
I think that's cool.
What we decided to rename it. And I got to tell you, it was brilliant. Yeah. I thought they did a phenomenal job. Not only was Jeff great as the anchor and head instigator, but I thought Jimmy the Bull was as good as always.
Yep.
I thought Mr. G was excellent.
You know what? I was surprised Mr. G.
He was good.
I thought he was going to be overbearing, take over the whole show, spit all over everything, and he was fine.
That's why I found it funny when people commented, because that was the most mild that he ever was whenever he was cut loose.
He was very relaxed.
And he was there for a full hour, which is kind of funny, too.
I thought he was pacing himself. Yeah, he knows in here he has 5 minutes.
I had my hand up for like 45 minutes. Stop. So.
No, he was good, and I love the segment where he had his son on the cell phone, Joey, who's a little...
I didn't get to that part
yet.
Hey,
Dad, I'm wondering, can I be on the radio show? Because I have to go and flush the toilet, but I was going to go take the car out.
He sounds just like Louie to me.
My friend Louie, yeah. You know what? The funny thing about Mr. G's son, probably the funniest thing that George said was that my son uses a roll of toilet paper every time he goes to the bathroom. The whole roll. and he clogs everyone's toilet up. So you can't let him in your house. So now I got to watch the studio because we don't think we have a power flush in there, do we?
Oh shit! That's why I had to put the new toilet paper in there.
Oh, you used the whole roll?
Yeah, because two of them were gone. Two.
Well, there you go.
He probably took one. He probably
stole one.
You know, Valentino used to keep one in his cargo pants pocket.
He put it in his sock, right?
Yeah. Or the cargo pants. He had it in the pocket on the leg
in case he shit himself.
Yeah. No, because he would have those creatine shit bubble bursts, you know, and he'd have to have, you know, take a dump like in the sewer drain outside of Twilo.
Anyway, yeah, so I thought you guys did a great job. I thought Diego was good on the show, too. So I'm looking forward to listening to episode two. So that show is going to air every 2 weeks on the opposite week of the Heavy Muscle show, TV show.
All right.
So,
well, thank you, Dave.
So good job, guys.
You know, yeah, definitely props to Jeff because I know it's your production and you were in charge, and I think you did an amazing job.
Yeah, the production value was very high, too.
Really good.
Now, I was listening to this commercial on the radio. You know, I do listen to, I don't listen to terrestrial radio. I listen to satellite radio.
Howard Radio.
Howard Stern, yeah, Howard 100. And there was a commercial on there for this new supplement, Prolixis. Have you heard this, John?
No.
It's one of these, and I wasn't sure what it is. It's like a porn star doing this commercial, and you're not really sure what she's talking about because she's kind of insinuating about width and thickness and all this stuff. And then you realize after a while that they're marketing a supplement that's going to supposedly make your penis thicker and wider, okay, which to me is the same thing. Right, yeah, but she keeps saying, more width, you need more width and thickness. And to entice this whole commercial,
we need a camera in here. In order
you
to film
need to
that.
Do that in the Blackman voice.
Yeah, I need width and thickness. Get Prolixis, and with your first order, you get a free measuring device
and a free glute striation.
I'm not making this up. That's what they're giving away. That's the enticement.
Are you serious?
You buy your first order, you get a free measuring device just to prove that your penis will get bigger. This is ingenious, isn't it?
It's probably a rigged tape measure, you know.
But can you believe this? No, it's like a body fat caliber thing. Oh, so you can like measure the thickness. It's ingenious. That's the most ingenious thing I've ever heard of. You know how many people are going to buy this thing just to get the measuring device? We got to get like Jimmy to order it or something like that.
That would be perfect.
Speaking of Jimmy, you know, people loved on the TV show when we had him sniff Justine Jolie's panties, which was pretty good. That was probably one of the most popular segments, you know, because we actually had a porn star take her panties off and give it to Jimmy, and he sniffed them. Someone sent me I just put it on the board. It'll probably be up there, obviously, still when people listen to the radio show. It was called Scent of a Woman. And it was the Scent of a Woman poster, promotional poster, the one that Pacino. Al Pacino was in. Yeah. But they put Pelleci at the top, Pelleci instead of Pacino, and they put the picture of Jimmy, you know, like Jimmy's face there with the Pacino thing, and then dancing with some girl. It was the exact poster sent for a woman, except it was Pelleci. I don't know how they photoshopped it in so good.
That was a genius from the board. His name is Kenny Cola. But I mean, the face that he found for when Pacino was dancing with the girl, it was this like look of like, hey, look what I got. It was priceless. Look.
I don't even know where you get the pictures from.
It was perfect.
Yeah, he did a great job. So that was classic. Very, very classic. Now, all right, we got a couple more news items here. Now, I don't know if you've been following the news, John, but in Utah, they have decided to eliminate the 12th grade. Listen to this. This is true.
Yeah, so all the girls can get married.
No, that's not the reason. They say the budget is the education system there is in $700 million in debt, and they're trying to figure out how they could save the school budget from going bankrupt. And they figure if they cut the 12th grade out, they can get people to graduate early, you know, then they'll solve the problem. Now the funny thing is, this is probably the dumbest time in the history of our nation, and they're trying to get people out in 11th grade. What do you think of this whole idea?
Well, nothing happens in 12th grade anyway, except beer keg parties and lots of class cutting. So, I think for students who have paid attention all through high school and have got a high GPA and can take a couple extra courses over 10th and 11th grade, that could work for them. Because when I was a senior in high school, I had half a day. I had nothing left.
Yeah, but don't you think the kids need that kind of relaxation before going to college?
That's
the
thing, is that senior year in college is the best year of your life. I'll never forget senior year. You know,
me neither.
I had a lot of fun in senior year.
So me too. And I really didn't have a lot of fun the other years because I was so worried about getting good grades.
Yeah. And by the time senior year rolled around, I
had everything under the blanket, and I was done basically. I had to take a couple of stupid classes just to, you know, stay matriculated. But after being, the fun factor was huge.
Yeah.
But it is kind of funny, you know, when you first heard this, me say they're getting rid of 12th grade, you almost were like, what do you mean get rid of 12th grade? But why do we need 12 grades? Why not 10 grades?
Why don't they get rid of kindergarten?
Right, exactly. So I don't know. You know, it might be a brilliant idea.
I could have done without 6th grade. Can you get rid of 6th?
It might be a brilliant idea,
well,
John.
You know, one of these, it kind of reminds me of the story of, I forgot what airline it was. I think it was TWA. They had or Delta, one of the big top airlines. They had this program that if you come up for the employees, that if you come up with a way for the airline to save money, you'd be entitled to some kind of benefit from it. Mm-hmm. And one of the flight attendants wrote in and said, take one of the olives off the salad. It ended up saving like $3 million really? Over the course of the year.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, they were compensated for it. So, I mean, you know, there was a great car tuner, you know, racer back in the 60s named Smokey Unick. And, you know, weight, if you the less a car weighs, the faster it goes, obviously.
Sure.
And Smokey's theory was, don't look for one place to lose 100 pounds. Look for 1,600 places to lose an ounce. It's a lot easier,
right?
Yeah. You know, in a race car. So to eliminate 12th grade is kind of like looking for one place to lose 100 pounds. Mm. I'm sure they could find 1,600 places to lose an ounce throughout the whole school without, you know, eliminating 12th grade. But, you know, that would probably take a little more imagination and doing.
Right. Well, you know, I guess what they're really not going to get rid of 12th grade. What they're going to do is try to encourage more and more people to graduate early.
Yeah.
And that's just because there's a lot of morons that need 12th grade, John.
Scholastic episode.
They need 13th grade, really. So,
yeah, you know, it's like a great Polak joke, a Polish joke. What's the toughest 4 years of a Polish guy's life?
What?
Seventh grade.
That's pretty funny.
Well,
now you can say 12th.
Yeah, now I can say 12th, exactly.
In the news, we have some more interesting things happening. Now, you know, you and I like to talk about relationships, John, and what's been going on with Tiger Woods and Jesse James. Well, one of the women who slept with Jesse James, Bombshell McGee. Have you seen this girl with the tattoos all over? I think she's a porn star.
Wow.
Something like that. Well,
she likes porn stars.
Yeah, Jesse. Yeah. He's into that whole trashy look. You know, she's got tattoos covering her body. I mean, just anyone whose name is Bombshell McGee. I mean, right off the bat, you know, the girl's a little fucking off the wall.
Right.
She has agreed to, well, she hasn't agreed to. She suggested that if Sandra Bullock wants, you know, because Sandra Bullock is Jesse James' separated wife, she will have a sit down with Jesse James' wife. Now, what do you think about this with the cheating woman and the wife getting together and talking? Do you think this is good or bad?
I think they should have a threesome and have Vivid Video record it.
I'm sure Jesse would love that, but I don't think Sandra Bullock would like that necessarily.
I can imagine them. I don't know. I think it would be. I don't know. You know. Who knows? I think my personal opinion is that these matters are really sensitive and really private. And just because you're a celebrity and your celebrity is from making movies about fictional characters in a fictional setting, that this avails the public to pierce the privacy veil of your life and get inside your house and your bedroom and everything else that you're doing and report on all of the misgivings that go on in the course of your relationship. I don't think their relationship at the level it's at is any different from anybody else's relationship. People cheat all the time. What? Only Jesse cheated?
Right.
You know, so but what do you think about the whole thing between, you know, women getting together?
I'm getting to that.
Okay. It's just a winded, long version of, you know, making a long story short.
Yeah,
making a long story short over here. So I think that whatever means you want to employ to save your marriage is a great idea. And maybe this is a little bit kind of an avant-garde way of doing it. It might be a little progressive. It might work. Who knows? Therapy is the same way.
I don't think Jesse or Sandra is the ones who are suggesting this.
No,
she's the one suggesting.
Well, obviously, she's got a paycheck in mind.
Right.
But I mean, I'm thinking before you have a porn star named Bombshell McGee get in there, why don't you go to a competent marriage counselor and, you know, go about it that way? My point of the whole thing is because these things get, you know, exposed and exploited in the mainstream, media. In the gossip columns, that these lunatics come out of the fringe and try to get involved, and they're obviously getting involved for their own gain. Bombshell McGee
is she qualified to act as a relationship counselor?
I don't know.
Why? Because she's got tattoos and she takes it up the ass on the camera?
I think we should get her in the studio here for a candid interview. I think we can find out what she's thinking.
I think so too. I think she should do Jimmy right on the fucking counter.
You know, I got to tell you, after looking at Bombshell McGee, there's nothing that turns me on about her whatsoever.
How could Jesse do that?
I don't even know.
How can you go from Sandra Bullock to Bombshell McGee? That's like going from a fucking Ferrari to a roller skate.
Roller skate.
Or Nick the Stick to Mr. G.
Right.
Nick the Stick to Mr. G.
Speaking of which, this coming Wednesday at my house, we have an onion ring fest. It's a tossing contest. Whoever can hide the onion ring deepest in their throat, I will dig it out with my tongue.
You know,
Send an email to Nick the Stick is better than you at rxmuscle.com.
Nick the Stick sent me pictures from, the Crazy Donkey this past Friday night where he was hosting. I think he got 25 people on his guest list.
Wait, he really went to the Crazy Donkey?
Of course he did.
That was just a joke that I came up with in my head.
Every Friday night, he promotes the Crazy Donkey.
That was a joke.
And if you go there and you're on
Nick. I swear to God, John, I had no idea.
If you go to the Crazy Donkey, listen to this. If you go to the Crazy Donkey on Friday nights, okay, and you get to the door and you mention Nick the Stick.
All right, it's Nick the Stick with an N.
If you mention Nick the Stick, you get in for free, John. Did you know this?
No, I did not
know
that.
And Nick the Stick gets $5.
Wow.
Per person who mentions his name.
Now, how much do you have to pay if you don't mention Nick the Stick?
Whatever the admission is.
$6.
$10 probably. You know, I don't know. So
they pay you.
Nick said he had like 25 girls on his list. And I guess he sent me some pictures and, a couple makeout pictures. You know, he's quite the host now. You know, he has them lined up in waves. So, the first wave of girls to come and he makes out with them. And then the next wave comes, which he likes more. And then he'll make out with them. And then the third wave is one of the girls that he's actually scheduled to meet there. So he already has two in the bucket by the time the third one gets there. And then he goes home with the third one because that was a pre-set up.
I like how he has a photographer covering his lingual exploits.
Well, who do you expect to tag those pictures once I get home from the event?
Yeah, he's above the tagging anyway. He doesn't want to tag anymore. So he's a full-time promoter, bartender. The funny thing is I thought his brother was taking all the pictures, like you said, because him and his brother go together. But there was a picture he sent me where the brother was making out with one girl on the dance floor and Nick was with another one. Of course, Nick's tongue was buried way deeper than his brother's was. And I'm wondering, who did he get to take this picture? Because think about it. He had to set the picture up. It wasn't like there was just someone standing there saying, they're making out. I'm going to take a picture. He must have said, all right, take the camera, and he told his brother, and they synchronized it. He's like, all right, you go make out with that girl. I'm going to make out with this girl, and you take the picture, right? Because that's the only way the whole thing could have happened, right? All right.
Or they just tossed it back and forth, and they just took turns, you know? I mean,
at the same time.
Really?
Yes. Yeah,
it's simultaneous.
Holy shit,
I have a picture with him and his brother both making out with two separate girls.
Wow. Photoshop.
It's not Photoshop.
Trust me, it's real, man. Because
the quality of the picture was terrible. Believe me, it wasn't Photoshop.
Now, how do these girls look?
I really couldn't tell. I was busy inspecting her stomach.
They're not horrendous, put it that way. They're not horrendous. You know, some of them may be as high as a 7.
On a scale of 1 to 3, they were somewhere in that range.
They're from 2 to 7, okay, John? They vary. You know, it depends on what wave they are. You got to understand that.
Well, you have to understand, Dave. You know, like, I'm not like you actually play the odds. So
he does. And wore his sunglasses on?
Yeah, on the top of his head, yeah. He definitely is a numbers guy. You know, he definitely tries as many numbers as he can. And, you know, he gets a couple good ones in there. You know, he got a couple bad apples, but, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. One of my former friends who's no longer with us, not in terms of, he's still alive, he's just not one of my friends anymore, used to say, you have to appease the gods sometimes, John. You have to take one for the team once in a while. If you don't hang out with a fat chick every once in a while, then you don't get the good ones. Right, you know, right.
I've heard that before.
You heard that too, yeah.
Was that like fucking reverse karma?
Yeah, it is.
Like,
yeah,
you have to like get hit by a car if you want to be saved. Right.
There's another version of that, and that is if you're in a group of guys, let's say there's three or four of you, okay, and then you come and you roll up on a group of three or four girls, there's always one butt ugly one, okay?
Right. Someone's got to take
one of you guys has got to do the fat
bitch.
That's
called sitting on a grenade, okay? My friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? As long as you have guys like Nick in your group, you have no problem.
Yeah, you have no problem. You just say, Nick, that one's yours.
And he doesn't even care.
No,
that's the funny thing.
That's the funny thing is he's got no compunction at all. He would stick his tongue into a food processor.
Right. So he's actually going to end up being like a club owner.
Yeah, no, we're laughing now. I agree with Jeff.
Yeah.
We're laughing now, but I bet you 10 years from now, Nick has got like 15 rings on his fingers, 16 gold chains, four pairs of sunglasses, a Ferrari, and he's got a, you know, a window office looking down on the dance floor.
The name of my club? The Onion Ring.
The kid is a hard worker. For 18 years old, he's making money already promoting clubs.
Hey, he seems to be doing what makes him
good for him.
Happy and popular. And Nick, I don't think there's a bad boner in his body. Yeah. He's a good kid.
I'm happy. I'm proud of him. I told him, if you're making money, then you're doing a good job.
But now with respect to his duties at RX Muscle, he's having to have a career change.
Well, John, it's up to you. Do you want me to actually drive this car? Or do you want me to fucking lease it? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think he's gonna be. He's not gonna be traveling with us. He'll tag the local shows, but he's not gonna be traveling with us.
Oh boy.
All right. They did a study, John.
Very interesting study at the University of Manchester in England. They surveyed 1,000 sports playing teenagers and their teammates on what their drinking habits were, and the outcome of the study showed that the drinking habits of sports stars, people out in the public, doesn't influence the people who you know watch the sports. In other words, they thought, well, you know how people said, oh, these guys are bad influence, they get drunk when they go out to clubs, these athletes are not good role models. Well, no people watch these guys and say, hey, I want to be a fucking drunk too and go out and get drunk because Ben Roethlisberger is getting drunk. And I mean, that's just common sense. You and I know that. Right, if people want to drink, they're going to drink. They're not going to say, I'm going to drink more because so-and-so drinks more. And so they had to spend a ton of money to figure this out. I could have told them that in 3 seconds.
And does that also go for snorting cocaine, wife beating, and staging dog fights?
I would have to say that's the case, yeah. I don't think anyone's...
You'd have to wonder.
I don't think anyone's going out and having dog fights because they know Michael Vick did dog fights.
So Michael Vick was caught staging dog fights, so that means 10-year-old boys are going to be sigging the poodles on each other.
I don't think there's going to be a whole bunch of people in Pittsburgh, fans going around, date raping women because Ben Roethlisberger did it. That's just the point.
I think the sad thing about these frivolous studies is that, first of all, they're funded. Okay.
Yeah, they actually get paid a lot of money.
Here you got a school losing 12th grade,
right?
While you got a university studying nonsense
over, but they probably getting $50,000-$60,000 to do it.
Exactly. And one of the best ones ever was a study conducted by a prestigious university that showed that if the air conditioner in your car does not filter out carbon monoxide.
Right.
And then if you read the study, you found out that it was conducted on cars following buses.
Great.
So can we have the money back? I mean, you got schools losing lunches, gym 12th fucking grade, but you got money appropriated to universities for studying why crabs crawl sideways.
You know what the funny thing is? With the amount of tuition these kids pay already for the university should fund the freaking
hell
study.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's ridiculous.
Well, we got to go to commercial break, let our sponsors be heard, and when we come back, we're going to do a little previewing of some of the upcoming shows.
All right.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate
facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsUSA.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of three creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Pump up and shred down with four great G-A-T products.
Pre-workout Jet Fuse NOX.
For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights.
Post-workout Jet Mass.
After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover.
Premium protein, Muscle Teen.
Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended-release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training.
Shred and burn in your Jet Fuel Pyro.
Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at teamgat.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit IsatoriTech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind
the limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsUSA.com.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo here with John Romano in the studio, and we're just about to talk a little bit about some competitions that are coming up these next couple weekends, Sean, but I wanted to bring up, I have two things I actually wanted to bring up. Number one, you know, I've been watching a lot of movies this past weekend because I actually had a free weekend. And for some reason, it seems like Morgan Freeman's in every movie I always watch. Now, I know Jeff.
Morgan Freeman is one of my favorites.
I know he's one of your favorites, Jeff. Now, did you ever realize, has Morgan Freeman ever been young? You notice he's been acting like for 25 years. He's always old. He always plays an old dude. I've never seen Morgan Freeman be young.
That's true.
It's amazing.
You have the most uncanny observations sometimes.
I wish really I could make money off some of these observations, but I can't.
Well, you make money off other observations.
Yeah, I guess so.
You can't have them all.
That's right. Now, I thought another interesting tidbit was that, number one, Kai Greene signed with Flex Magazine. Now, you've been saying, John, for years, or maybe the last 2 years, that you thought Kai was going to go to Flex because you figured that it would be a better way for him to become Mr. Olympia. Do you still stand by that?
Yeah, I saved him on the street. I gave him $10 to take a cab to a diner, and he does this to me.
Now, Steve Blackman did write a letter on the MD message boards, explaining. It was actually more like a girlfriend breaking up with a guy type of letter. But
pathetic.
But he did lay out all the stuff he did for Kai. Now, you were in the inner sanctum there, even maybe a little more than I was. What did Blackman actually do for Kai Greene?
Kai Greene did benefit from a slight generosity on Blackman's part, you know, at a very low point in his career, and that was good. But, you know, having said that, first of all, as you've said so many times, Dave, you do things because you do them. You don't do them because you're expecting some kind of payoff.
Right. Otherwise, it's not really really a good deed. It's more like an expectation.
Exactly. Having said that, it's not like Kai Greene did not perform a service for Blackman. I mean, there was no indication that this act of kindness and subsequent contracts or whatever deals meant that Kai Greene had to, you know, stay with Blackman for the rest of his natural life.
Right.
So I know Kai wanted to go over with to the Weider organization for a long time. He feels obviously it's in his best interest to do so, especially if he wants to win an Olympia. And you know, that's his mindset about it.
They probably offered him a lot of money, I would think, too, because Blackman's obviously stole Cutler away from Flex. They probably had some more money available, and they did drop Dexter Jackson and Tony Freeman, right, which must have freed up a lot of money for them as well.
Sure.
I'm assuming they gave Kai some serious dough for him to leave.
The other thing is that these machinations are common in this industry. Everybody switches teams. You got guys working for supplement companies one year, one another year. They're with Weider 1 year. They're with MD. They're with Muscle Mag. These guys are flip-flopping all around, and they should, because it keeps things fresh, gives everybody a chance to, you know, get their hands on everybody else, because they have this retarded exclusivity idea throughout the whole industry. So, you know, it gives everybody a chance to mix things up. It gives the fans a chance to see things from different perspectives, and it's all expected. To sit there and whine in this letter better, like you've lost your girlfriend over the fact that Kai Greene left you, is ridiculous.
Well, the funny thing is, he just stole Jay from Flex.
So should Flex post a letter? Ah, you know, we did so much for you. You know, you won the Olympia when you were with us, and you know, how could you go over to Blackman after all we did for you?
It's money.
It's dollars stupid. And cents. It is so childish and so stupid and such a window into the twisted mind of this guy that it's like you know, kids collecting G.I. Joe dolls with the kung fu grip, you know.
I want a black one. Yeah, no, I need a yellow one today. No, this one's purple. I want this one. I want them all. Give me all of them. I want them all so no one else can play.
You're right. It, the ridiculousness of it is very evident by the way you're pointing it out, but it is like that. It's like doll collecting. You're right.
It's like doll collecting.
And he has the money to do it.
He's in kindergarten. It's all, he wants all the G.I. Joe dolls so no one else can play with them.
And he almost had them all. And then he lost the biggest one.
And he lost the big, but now, you know, I'm sure he's going to sign Dexter. He's going to sign Tony. He's going to sign everybody. He's going to sign have the remaining top row of the IFBB so no one else can have them.
I want to sign me next.
I heard Blackman is actually signing Gunther Schlemke, who's making a comeback. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, I heard of Gunther.
Yeah.
Wow. So he's going to sign Dexter, Gunther, and Tony.
Right. I don't know if the other two, but he's definitely going to sign.
I wonder if his kids worry about their inheritance after all of these schmo signings.
Well, you know, I'm glad that Kai Greene is making good money, and you know, the funny thing is, I saw Bill Comstock, who used to work with us over at MD, who no longer is now working. He's working with Flex now. Ironically enough, they flew him in to film Kai Greene at Bev Francis Power Show. It was like I don't even know who's working for who anymore.
Oh my god!
It was like an old reunion.
They should all be required to wear a team T-shirt so we know who's working for.
Yeah. At least we're easy to identify. We don't work for anyone. We work for ourselves. So that's
and everybody hates us. So that's the best part.
Everyone hates you, actually, but
because everything's my fault.
Of course,
everything. I got now. The latest I heard is I move into Florida because the mafia's after me. Right. Thanks to Derek. But I'm going to wait 5 or 6 months before I go. Right. So you know, just give them a chance to find me.
Right. Because you're so hard to locate right now.
Right now I'm so hard to find. Fucking moron.
This upcoming weekend on Saturday is going to be the NPC and IFBB Pittsburgh Championships. You got the pro show, which is going to feature bikini and figure, and then you got your big NPC show that Jim Mannion holds every year. This is like the ode to the Godfather, so to speak. You got an extravaganza of guest posers, Sean, coming in. Kai Greene will be there. Dennis Wolfe will be there. Dexter Jackson will be there. Ronnie Coleman will be there. Jay Cutler will be making an appearance there and getting up on stage, as well as Branch Warren, Phil Heath, Victor Martinez, and the newest freak on the circuit, Zach Kahn.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
You know, I covered that show, I think, in
9 guest posers.
I think I covered that show in 06 or 07.
Why don't they just pose down and have a competition?
It's exactly what they do. I was there. It's practically the entire Olympia lineup goes down there, and they all pose down at the same they do a pose down at the same time. It's kind of weird because they're all out of shape.
They're all out of shape. It's like a bunch of fat men on stage. Yeah.
Chris Cormier came out with a pair of black basketball shorts and high tops on and no shirt. That was kind of funny.
Who was that? Someone was in good shape last
Dexter.
Year.
Dexter's the only guy that's ever in shape. Yeah. Dexter comes in and Dexter looks 2 weeks out now, all year long.
Right. So that I'm going to be out there. This is the first year I've been out there in a long time. So because I usually go to the New England's, which is now the Jay Cutler Classic. And one of you guys are going up there to cover
dinner. The dinner at Jim Mannion's, I guess, brother-in-law's restaurant. Jimmy hosts a dinner the night before.
Right.
It's unbelievable. The food is so freaking good, and it's like mountains of it. You could get rare filet mignon. You could probably eat 40 pounds of it.
I was invited, so
you make sure you go. That dinner is the bomb.
Remind Jim Mannion we have the same birthday. I want to make sure I get to the dinner.
You got
to
get Friday night. Got to get the dinner.
I'm excited. Like I said, I haven't been there in a while. We had to split the team up this weekend because we got two events to cover. The Jay Cutler is going to be being held on Sunday in Boston, Mass. As always, I usually go up there, so this is going to be a difference for me. I'll be out in Pittsburgh, and the you know, this there's some good competitors, John. The bikini show is really what's getting my loins a little hot, I got to tell you, because this past weekend, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, in Orlando, Nathalia Mello from Brazil, John, wins her first pro show, actually only her second show in her entire life, and she will be heading up this star-studded bikini lineup, as well as some of the other ones, my favorites, Missy Cole, Jamie Baird, Sonia Gonzalez, who is originally a figure pro, switching over, and she's there's some hot girls. Tiana Toff from Boston, another one of my favorites. Stacey Thompson, who's Lee Thompson's wife, will be in this, and she's very a cutie as well. So I think that this is going to be, from what J.M. Mannion told me at least, this is going to be the Bikini Olympia preview.
Wow.
So he believes that the Bikini, I guess, Olympia champion will come out of this lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So
I believe it. And if anybody knows, it's J.M. Yeah. He's got an incredible eye for
this. In the figure lineup, John, one of your favorites and one of my species athletes, Heather May French, is going to be making an appearance there. She's got to be considered, I guess, one of the favorites in this lineup.
How
at least.
Is she not?
Cheryl Brown, another one of my very good favorites, will be Cheryl in this lineup. Brown. And and you know, Cheryl Brown brings to mind something funny that I want to bring up later. I don't want to connect it yet. Marcy Porter, Jeff, one of your friends.
Yes, good friend of mine, Marcy Porter.
Who was second 2 weeks ago.
Came in the best shape of her life, I think.
She looked good. Did you help her out?
No, I didn't, because she would have came in 12th if I would have. She did everything herself.
Gotcha. Okay. Just making sure that we don't want to miss anything. We don't want to miss giving any kudos to the people who deserve it. Now, like I said, this will all take place this coming Saturday, 4 days from today, and you can catch all the results up to the minute, John, on rxmuscle.com.
All right.
Well, next we got to move on to the New York Pro Preview. John, this year we have a great event. Steve Weinberg has made this thing bigger and bigger every single year. He's got bigger and better competitors on the list. We have some real names in this lineup. Specifically, Dennis Wolf comes to mind, and Tony Freeman, guys that we don't normally see in this lineup. And I'd have to say that this is going to be one of the best New York pros in recent memory. Let's start. Let's break down each competitor, and let's give the audience an idea of who they can expect to see on stage and what our predictions are coming up. Sound good?
All right. Let's go.
First, let's start with the X-Man, Tony Freeman, who's probably been competing at the most competitions of any other competitor out there over this last show season. He's been in Phoenix. He was in the Arnold. He skipped Orlando, but now he's ready to go and do battle again in New York. He won the Sacramento at the end of last year after coming off the Olympia. This guy is hot, John. What does Tony need to do to come in here and win this show?
He's dry and hard. He's basically, as cliche as that sounds, Tony needs to repeat his 2008 Olympia appearance. If he can nail that kind of condition, he'd walk away with the entire show, in my opinion. I don't care who's there.
Now, Tony says that he's, you know, put on a considerable amount of weight.
Yeah, he did. What did he say today? 280?
Almost,
90?
Yeah, he's almost 15 pounds bigger than he was at that 2008 Olympia, which at his age, 43 years old, is pretty impressive. In my estimation, his problem has been that he just has not come in with the level of conditioning that we are used to seeing Tony at his best, which is glutes, hamstrings. He's coming in hard, but he's not coming in dry, like you said earlier. Do you think he's hungry enough now that he's no longer with Flex Magazine, so to speak, to train a little harder, suffer a little bit more, and not worry about his weight?
I don't think Tony has a work ethic problem. I for some reason, I don't know why, he misses his peak sometimes. He made the observation that he did, what, 9 shows in 2008 or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so he had been dieting the entire year. Then that's when he had absolutely no contract. So, maybe the fact that he doesn't have a contract might make him a little hungrier to go that extra mile or do whatever he's got to do, to come in like that. But for Tony, especially on Tony, because he's a tall guy with a lot of muscle, he needs that dry, hard condition. He's got to have it. Even 2% off pushes him way down the line.
I think the problem is that people are telling him, judges are telling him, we want you to put more muscle on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes bodybuilding competitors take the idea of putting more muscle on as meaning coming fuller or not as hard. hard, and that's a mistake in Tony's mind. If Tony comes in on 100%, I don't think anyone beats him, including the next guy we're going to be talking about, Dennis Wolf.
Right.
Dennis Wolf did have an off year last year. He only did one show, the Olympia. He came in way off conditioning. A lot of people thought, you know, blame Chad Nichols for that. And actually, I think Dennis was last. I think they put him last place.
He was dead ass last.
And, you know, the truth is, I heard, and I'm not going to give my sources away, otherwise they wouldn't be sources.
Right.
I heard that Dennis was cheating on his diet, to tell you the truth. Wow. That he wasn't really dieting quite as hard. I think he thought maybe in his mind, you know, he didn't want to come in too flat, that it was good to be fuller. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a mistake. And they always blame the contest guru guy. You ever notice that? Yeah. I'm not defending Chad. I'm not sticking up for him. But you know what? If Dennis was not sticking to Chad's plan, then you know what? Dennis has no one to blame but Dennis.
Right. I would stick up for Chad because, I mean, you know, Chad has had some, you know, great luck with some really good top level competitors, namely 8-time Mr. Olympia.
Who never cheated on his diet.
Never. Just Casey Masterpiece.
Well, but, yeah, but that probably Chad figured that into the diet.
He probably did, you know, and you know, Tony, I mean, Ronnie's a freak anyway, but you know, there's a probably a variance to work with there. But look, Dennis Wolf has the potential of being an incredible bodybuilder, a top level competitor. He certainly has been. He's shown himself to be that way. I'm really glad that he's going to be in a lineup with Tony Freeman because it's two big, tall guys.
Yeah, they can be favorably compared against each other.
It can be definitely favorably compared, and I'd like to see it be very close.
Here's the question. At Dennis Wolf at his best, Tony Freeman at his best, who wins?
Tony.
Okay, you heard it. I'm agreeing with that. I think Tony is better than Dennis Wolf at their best. Will both of them be at their best? We won't know until 10 days from today. Let's talk about kind of like the guy who is, if you want to call him a giant killer, because Hidetada Yamagishi is not a very tall guy.
No.
But yet he won the Europa Show of Champions down in Orlando a couple weeks ago today. And he did beat Tony Freeman, although Tony was quick to point out that he paced ahead of Tony.
Right.
In Phoenix. Can this guy upset these guys and beat them both? Or do you think that these guys are going to have to be tremendously off to lose to a small competitor like Hidetada?
I'm assuming you're asking this question under the assumption that Wolf and Tony would be at their best.
Yes, at their best.
Then Hidetada takes third.
Okay. Because I think Hidetada has a lot of structural issues.
Yeah, he does.
And I don't think he's that great of a bodybuilder. I wouldn't even call him a top-tier bodybuilder, but I think he will win shows like a Silvio Samuel if other people are not there in shape or if the lineup is weak.
Hidetada is a top two-tier bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. He's a top second-tier bodybuilder, whereas Tony and Dennis are first-tier bodybuilders. You know, it's really hard for a guy like that to break into that top row. His condition, I mean, let's face it, Hidetada's condition is second to none sometimes. He gets incredibly shredded. But that alone in that kind of lineup with that kind of mass is not going to win the show. So, you know, if Tony and Dennis are way off or even slightly off and he's really on, he could take him.
He could, theoretically.
Theoretically.
But I doubt it, though. There's another guy we have to consider in this lineup, a new guy, someone that you've interviewed.
Yeah.
Raleigh Winkler. Who in 2009 won the Arnold Amateur event. Mm-hmm. In 2010, he places seventh at the Arnold Classic, and then he takes third at the Australia Grand Prix to qualify for his very first Olympia. This guy is hot.
Yeah,
he's on a rip. Can this guy come in here? And if Tony and if Dennis are off, can he win this show?
I don't know how much name recognition has to do with any of this. I was really surprised to see him come out of virtually nowhere at the Arnold and take seventh. I thought that in itself was almost a win. So now that he's done that and he's established himself as someone to look out for, I think in this level show with this level of competitor lineup, this guy could really upset things and take and beat everybody.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that he's still going because it takes a lot to continue dieting like this for a long period of time. I'm assuming whoever is advising him told him to do the show for the publicity aspect of it, especially now that people have accepted him as being a good competitor and accepted him as being a freak. I mean, the guy has got great conditioning. His chest, shoulders, and arms are ridiculous. He's got a small waist. His legs are good. You know, his back could be a little thicker, I think. And I think that probably over the next year he'll improve. he's almost reminiscent of Sonny Schmidt in a sense. Yeah. He looks just like him.
He does. You know, you can say the same thing as far as the backs of Dennis Wolf and Tony Freeman.
Right.
So, you know, all, that kind of makes all things equal. I think the condition is going to be, if you took those three together, you know, Winkler, Wolf, and Freeman, condition is the key right there, because I know Raleigh Winkler gets in sick condition, strided from head to toe. Mm. And if he shows up like that, and, you know, Tony and Dennis are even just the slightest bit off, I could see Raleigh Winkler winning the show.
The advantage Tony has over all three men is presentation.
Tony is Tony's the polish. No one is more polished than Tony Freeman.
No, this the X-Man is very good on stage. Yes. I don't know if it has anything to do with his dancing background he had, but
well, I know it does, because yeah. I mean, I noticed that all of the bodybuilders that had at one point in time been strippers have a very easy way of being on stage in their posing trunks.
Kai Green.
I mean, all of them.
Rodney St. Cloud.
I don't want to name all the names, but I mean, I'm surprised you know so many. Yeah. But
that's my job, John.
Yeah. Be careful. So, you know, if you have that kind of comfort zone with, you know, being in a very tiny outfit, you know, in front of everybody, that definitely helps. But all over, Tony's a polished guy. And structurally, I think just from a structural standpoint, nobody touches Tony.
Hmm. Well, we'll have to see. We have a couple of guys, new guys in the lineup. This next guy only did one pro show 2 years ago, and then he took off a year to grow. Eric Fankhauser, who's one of the freakiest guys as far as calves development, leg development goes. He seemed, at least from the pictures that I've seen recently of him that people have been posting online, to have improved his upper body somewhat. I mean, the guy has got a small waist. His conditioning is always good. Does he have enough mass to stand with some of these bigger guys?
I don't know. It's going to remain to be seen. I haven't seen him up against these other guys. It depends. It remains to be seen how great a condition he can get in. His legs are freaky as hell, and it, you know, he could be a wild card in the show.
I think Eric Fankhauser will probably make his best appearance to date. He's got a lot going for him. His conditioning level is always good. He's polished. He's a pretty good poser on stage. His legs are freaky, ridiculous, and I think his upper body came up quite a bit. Now, whatever his back is looking like, I have not seen that. No one's shown. When people don't show pictures of their weak body parts in, like, you know, preview pictures, right, you got to wonder if the body part is still weak. I don't know. We'll have to find out. Someone else who's making a pro debut here is Jeff Long. Okay, right. Jeff Long has got a lot of muscle. This guy's got a ton of muscle. He's one of these guys, you know, that might fit into the category of what one of the articles you just wrote recently about, one of these guys who needed to get in shape, so he increased his carbs and decreased his cardio.
Right, right.
And somehow miraculously got in shape.
Right.
Well,
miraculous.
He's you know, he's a New Jersey guy. He's making his pro debut here. I think this might set the stage for how he will do in the future. Do you think that Jeff Long has the tools in his tool chest, so to speak, to break into a top five situation at the New York Pro?
I don't know. I have, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I wish I could give everybody out there, you know, the answer they're looking for. When you haven't seen a guy compete as a pro who was a top amateur, it's a huge difference when you go from, you know, the lower, you know, from the amateurs into the big show.
Right.
So it remains to be seen. You got to see him on stage. You got to see him in the lineup. And really, your eye is better than mine, but I really can't make that kind of distinction without seeing him first against the kind of guys that are in the pro lineup. So I think he's got a great physique. I think he's conditioned. You know, he knows what he's doing. He can put it together. It remains to be seen whether or not, when you stick him next to a Tony Freeman or a Dennis Wolf or a Raleigh Winkler, that he's going to stand out.
Well, if Jeff can bring the level of conditioning he brought to Nationals, okay, with the fullness he had, I think he will be a force to be reckoned with, because he's got the size. He doesn't really have too many weaknesses in terms of body parts. He's got great calves, great arms. He's got a thick back. His presentation is not up to par maybe with some of the other guys, but it's not bad. And, you know, in this lineup, it's really not that difficult. It's not really that difficult of a lineup. You got a couple named guys like Tony, Dennis, and Raleigh, and then Hidetada. But I mean, that fifth spot is available,
yeah.
And Jeff could sneak in that. So don't be surprised if Jeff Long finishes in fifth. I'm going to throw him out there as a possible fifth placer. Let's talk about the Russians. There's right. two Russians in this lineup.
Yeah, there is.
First of all, Eugene Mishin, who just came off a third place at the Europa Show of Champions Orlando. Mm-hmm. He's got to be thrilled. He qualified for his very first Olympia. He's packing a lot more size than he did last year. Structurally, we know he's a little challenged, but he does have a lot of mass.
Yes.
And he can stand with the guys like Tony Freeman or Dennis Wolf. If Eugene brings the same level of conditioning and fullness he brought in Orlando, he could be a fifth place finisher in this lineup, John, very easily.
I don't even know why he's doing the show, to be honest with you. I mean,
hometown, man.
I know hometown, but he's already qualified for the O, and you know, based on his any limitations that a guy at that level has, you'd want to take as much time as you can to get ready for the Olympia. I mean, sure. It's been his dream to do the Olympia. I mean, I still got to give the guy props. He's the first Russian in history to ever qualify for the Olympia
in America,
right. Which is a big deal because all the other ones did it in Europe under much easier circumstances. He's a great bodybuilder. I think he's really made some incredible improvements over the last year or so. I think it would be detrimental for him to show up in this show even a little bit off and take sixth or seventh place if things don't go his way.
If he does place, however, top five or does well in this lineup of Olympic competitors, it raises Eugene's mission's stock a lot higher than it was before because Eugene didn't beat that many great guys in Orlando.
Exactly.
So I think it might be a good risk at this point, especially since I think New York gets such great coverage magazine-wise and internet-wise that if Eugene does place even a top three or top four here, I think his stock goes way up. Mm-hmm. Also, I think there's got to be a little country rivalry going on because Sergey Shelistov will be in this lineup as well. He is an Olympia qualifier. He never, like you said, qualified in the United States, right. But he's got a lot of mass, a lot of conditioning. If this guy nails it, Eugene and him will have a nice battle for who's the best Russian on the planet.
I hope the judges allow that, that sort of confrontation to take place, put the Russians together,
And I know Eugene has been very vocal about saying that he's better. So I'm sure Sergey would like to say otherwise, and I'd like to see the two of them battling it out on stage in New York. I think that'll be great.
It would be really cool.
The fans will love that.
And the New York crowd is like no other crowd.
Of course.
So, I mean, they would eat that up.
Now, let's give our predictions because everyone wants to know who we like. Okay, we just named a whole bunch of guys. Dennis Wolf, Tony Freeman, Hidetada Yamagishi, Raleigh Winkler. We have Jeff Long and Eric Fankhauser in that lineup and the two Russians, Eugene Mishin and Sergey Shelistov. Who do you like top five?
I thought Zach Kahn was in that show.
No, he's not in this.
He's not in this one?
Huh. John Romano, brain fart.
John Romano, brain freeze. Oh boy, predictions. Okay, I'm going to go with Tony Freeman first, Dennis Wolf second, Hidetada Yamagishi third, Eugene Mishin fourth, and Eric Fankhauser fifth.
That's an interesting call. It's pretty safe predictions, based on how they perform. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the X-Men too. I'm going to say the X-Men is going to win this, and I got to put Dennis Wolf in second because I think those two guys are in a league of their own. Actually, I don't think you can even compare them. Hidetada Yamagishi has got to have a lot of momentum after coming off of the win in 2 weeks ago, but I have to think that Raleigh Winkler is a better bodybuilder than he is, and I don't think Raleigh's going to come in out of shape. So I think Raleigh's going to definitely beat Hidetada. It's going to be interesting for fourth because this is a wild card. You want to say Hidetada because he's more polished and he just won a show. I'm going to go out on a leaf and I'm going to say Jeff Long is going to sneak into that fourth spot, and I'm going to put Hidetada in fifth. And that's a controversial call on my part, John, because I don't know what Jeff brings. I haven't seen his physique at all. I'm really just going out on a limb and throwing it out there because I think that I think of all the other guys we mentioned, I think Jeff's got the mass to stand with these guys.
Right. I sort of forgot about Raleigh Winkler there for a second. I might have put him in my lineup too, but I'm going to stick with it. I think Raleigh Winkler could be out of all of those people the real dark horse in there, because we just don't know. For some reason the judges have this, I don't know if it's the judges or just the general opinion, when you have a guy that's from so far away and is sort of a foreigner in the sense that he's not a common element in a lot of the shows, that they tend to get overlooked. He was not overlooked certainly at the Arnold Classic by taking seventh. So I think that he could come in there and really shake up that top five lineup, but he probably will be in the top five.
And people know who he is now.
Yeah, now they do.
That's the point. Well, that's our New York Pro preview for now, John. It's going to be a great show. I'm looking forward to it. But for now, we got to go to commercial break. When we come back, we got our first guest.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on rxmuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hypershot. Hypershot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsUSA.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy, it's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed. RxMuscle.com introduces the cheapest and fastest growing discount supplement store on the net. DiscountSupplements.com. DiscountSupplements.com not only has the best prices on all of the industry's most popular products, but they also offer next day delivery for just $7.99. You heard right. For a flat fee of just $7.99, most orders arrive the next day at a price that simply cannot be beat. As a matter of fact, their prices and service are so good, we made them the official store for RxMuscle.com. If you haven't visited DiscountSupplements.com, what are you waiting for? Visit DiscountSupplements.com today.
Build serious muscle now. G-A-T. Get huge and stay lean. G-A-T. Achieve total muscle domination. Ah! Pump up and shred down with 4 great GAT products.
Pre-workout Jet Fuse and OX.
For insane strength and psychotic workouts, use Jet Fuse before attacking the weights.
Post-workout Jet Mass.
After training, use Jet Mass's muscle volumizing German creatine with HGH boosters and branched chain aminos to repair and recover.
New protein, the Muscle Teen.
Muscle Teen has 45 grams of extended-release protein to rebuild muscle tissue during and after training.
Shred and burn in your Jet Fuel Pyro.
Use Jet Fuel Pyro, the number one feel-good fat burner, to help you feel great as you burn fat faster and easier. Find these GAT products at retailers worldwide or go to our website at TeamGAT.com. That's TEAMGAT.com.
Plasmatic is the next generation of nitric oxide amplifiers. Plasmatic contains the clinically proven glycocarn and other exclusive cofactors to give you a better pump, extreme vascularity, and aid in both performance and recovery. Plasmatic is the only next generation nitric oxide amplifier that contains no L-arginine. Plasmatic's proprietary blend is manufactured using a state-of-the-art liquid capsule technology and lipomatic delivery. See Plasmatic today at your local vitamin shop or call us now at 866-GET-EST-1 or visit us on the web at estnutrition.com. Plasmatic, results guaranteed.
Flashpoint, the world's first sublingual fat burner. Flashpoint will change the way you look at fat burners forever. That's because traditional pills, capsules, and even liquid caps are broken down in your stomach, taking over 23 minutes to start working. But now, Isatori Technologies has engineered a fat burner that completely bypasses the stomach. Flashpoint melt tabs are absorbed right through the sublingual and buccal glands in your mouth. With Flashpoint, you'll start feeling its effects within 33 seconds. 33 seconds. Now that's fast and as hardcore as it gets. Visit isatoritech.com or GNC to start feeling fat burning in 33 seconds with Flashpoint.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsUSA.com.
All right, John, our next guest is on the phone. He's a guy we haven't talked to for a while because he was under contract. Now he's not. The man I'm talking about is the X-Man himself, Big Tony Freeman. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. Finally get to rap with you guys again.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time. We haven't been able to interview you. You've been working for Weider AMI, and just recently they lost Jay Cutler to MD, and then they signed Kai Green, and it seemed about the same time they released you and Dexter.
How convenient. Is that like a coincidence or something?
I don't know. I was going to ask you, what do you feel about this whole release?
Well, you know, it's business. I don't really knock anybody for the way that they conduct their business. So if they wanted Kai and felt like he's, you know, what they want to spend their money on, and I'm not, that's fine with me. I love Kai. He's my boy. So I'm happy for him.
Doesn't really
affect me too much. I mean, of course, you know, you miss the check every month, but I'm still gonna get mine, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, Blackman will sign you soon. Now
awesome.
I'm just glad we got you in between contracts so we can talk to you.
Isn't it funny how the I guess you can call it the window of opportunity?
It's like a baseball card convention. We're trading, you know. Yeah, I got this one today. I'm gonna get this one tomorrow. But you can have him now. You know, it's like a bunch of crazy fucking homos trading action figures.
I want the big dark one.
I want the big X frame now. I got a taste for him.
Well,
it's fucking sick. You know, he's got Kung Fu grip. Could you imagine Derek Jeter only being allowed to talk to ABC Sports and not ESPN, you know, after a game?
That would be horrible. That would be horrible, especially if you didn't have cable.
It's fucking nuts. I remember you were never very happy about the exclusivity clause preventing you from, you know, properly marketing Tony Freeman in other...
Well, me personally.
Yeah, you personally.
I had some outside industry stuff that was offered to me that I wasn't able to participate in because of my contract obligations.
Outside the industry?
It had nothing to do with bodybuilding. I just felt that was a little unnecessary.
You want to elaborate on that?
No, not really, because it didn't really pan out, because I had to tell them no, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, who knows what might have happened if I could have actually did what I was offered to do. So, but I just look at everything as a stepping stone and lesson learned. And, you know, I don't think I ever want to sign anything super exclusive anymore, because I got other plans and I don't want to be held back from, you know, it's almost like somebody's putting a dimmer on your light. You know what I mean?
So and they fine you. Is it true that you were fined 2 months pay because you shot some paparazzi photos for MD and us, RX Muscle?
Well, it was funny because it wasn't even a photo shoot. It was in the parking lot of the airport.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know me. If anybody knows me, if you walk up to me and say, well, you know, what do you look like? Let me see what you look like. I'm going to strip down right there. It doesn't matter where we are. And, you know, cameras came out and I'm like, whatever, you know, I'm working with Dave, so no big deal. And, cost me $7,500. So
jeez, that's a lot of money, John. That's a hell of a lot of money, man.
That's a retarded amount of money for me.
Sorry.
Especially since I didn't really do anything. I'm just like, this is my job. I take, you know, at the Arnold, I must take, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 pictures a weekend.
Yeah, you were,
know, how can you keep up with who took the what? I mean, it's crazy.
You were in a public forum too. I mean, it was a paparazzi. It wasn't like we were in your hotel room.
A photo shoot, you know, or something like that, then I would be in the wrong.
Right.
But just, you know, standing in the parking lot of the airport showing people what you look like. I mean, come on. Seriously?
I mean, because theoretically anyone could have taken those pictures too.
Exactly. I have no idea who took the picture.
Right.
It was like 12 cameras
flying. Right, right.
So I don't know which camera it came out of. So I had no control over the situation other than I was the one that, you know, showed my cards or whatever. So, and it wasn't even like I just pulled my pants on. It wasn't even like I was fully unclothed and posing and all that. It was for you to check my conditioning. Right.
And you know what? More people were talking about Tony Freeman after that little incident for the next day or two, and gave you probably more publicity, which probably obviously helped their cause rather than hurt it.
Well, like I say, everyone knew I was a weeder athlete, so it didn't really matter
right
to me where the pictures came from or if there were pictures out. It still doesn't, you know, change who you're with.
Right.
What, it has nothing to do with it.
But don't you think that would bode better for the person who owns your contract, that if you were available to a vast array of media, you would be ostensibly promoting the guy who owns your contract, wouldn't you?
Exactly. And also, you didn't have to pay for it. So that's just on someone else's dime, and you're still getting pretty much 90% of the benefit of it. Even though the other company might be putting the pictures out, you're still getting something out of it and didn't put anything into it.
Or, you know, a way to work it might be to say, look, if Tony, we want to let Tony do interviews with other magazines or other internet sites, you got to wear a Weider shirt or something like that, you know.
Well, that's fine.
Or a hat or something like that. Yeah, I mean,
I have no problem with it. Yeah. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
I'm one of the most loyal guys you ever meet. I just, you know, I love my fans first, you know, all this other stuff. What I hate is when the fans get slighted, you know, by the bureaucratic stuff, so.
Mm.
You know,
Tony,
that kind of sucks.
Tony, if you were in charge of public relations for all the IFBB pro bodybuilders, what recommendations would you make to help publicize the talent? What do you think would be a good idea?
Almost something like, you know, how the NBA made those guys wear suits. I wouldn't do that, but, you know, I would actually have meetings with the fellas, private meetings, and talk about our image and how we want to be portrayed and how we want the public to view us. You know, I think that we lose a lot of respect sometimes because of, you know, maybe non-pros. So I want us to be able to separate ourselves and, you know, and perform at a higher standard.
I
would definitely just, you know, get with the guys and make sure that everybody's on the same page and we're representing the sport the same way.
Would you think it would be a good idea? Maybe. I mean, this is just one of my crazy ideas. I, you know, I'm just a nutcase. What do I know? But would you think it would be good to maybe have like a publicist for the pro bodybuilders to help promote them?
I'm actually getting ready to get me a publicist, so I'll be the first one to do it, and then that way they can see the benefit of it. Well, so that's definitely a plan that I have. Actually, going to get a Hollywood publicist, and she's going to basically take over that for me. And like I said, I don't want to be portrayed in any old light. Like, in other words, like if you put a picture of me, like in an ad or in an article, I want to be able to see them or have my publicist see them, because sometimes people put pictures in that aren't, you know, that aren't as flattering as they should be or that they could be, you know.
Right.
Like, I even the cover that I did for Flex, I didn't really like that picture. It was the highest selling issue of Flex magazine for 2009, so I can't really complain. But still, I didn't personally like it. I would have liked to look at it first before they put it out there. That's just my opinion.
Well, I have to say something towards the publicist comment, Tony, because I know for a fact that Jay Cutler had hired two publicists. In fact, one of them was Arnold's publicist.
You should fire him.
So, I mean, and you know, his sentiment was that, you know, the general attitude in the mainstream media and the mainstream industry is that, you know, bodybuilding is just not that marketable. What would you say to a publicist who came back at you? I mean, a big time Hollywood publicist, no less, who came back to you with that kind of statement.
Well, I'm going to speak for personal. I've had publicists tell me that they thought that until they met me. You got to understand, you know, the ideal height for a man is 6'2". So if you're 5'9", 300 pounds, you're a fat dude, that's the average Joe. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't really matter what you look like under your clothes. They're looking at you across the table like a fat dude. So somebody like me can come across as an athlete, because bodybuilding is like the third or fourth thing people get. They say, do you play football? Who do you play for? They never say, are you a bodybuilder, unless I'm at a bodybuilding show.
Right.
When I'm out in public, I never hear that. I have to tell people I'm a bodybuilder. Then they're like, oh. Like, in other words, like, you don't really look like one. Most of those guys are short or this, that, and the other. So me personally, I feel like the perception of bodybuilding is because of who's been out front, not because of the sport. Not, you know what I'm saying? It has really nothing to do with what we do per se. It's who gets the most exposure. So in other words, when people see the representative of sport, they think that that's a blanket. That's how everybody is, or that's how everybody looks, or whatever. So when they see somebody like me, I'm kind of an anomaly. They don't really know what category to put me in. So
yeah, it's good.
I think if you put me out front, I think the perception will change. Put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point, because, you know, Jay Cutler, while being a great bodybuilder, is not necessarily the greatest personality either. You know,
he has a great personality, but not for maybe like the average Joe on the street who's not really interested in bodybuilding, who is interested in being 300 pound behemoth. So, you know, the thing is about me, I still try to keep it sexy. So I want to attract the opposite sex. I want to be a motivation to guys to aspire to really look like, because I feel like, you know, maybe the last, you know, two or three Mr. Olympias, you know, no one really wanted to look like him. So what's the value of being Mr. O if no one wants to look like you, even your peers? So,
well, I'm talking about, like,
you want to win, but, you know, you don't see people say, oh, I wish I looked like that. You haven't really heard that from the last few Mr. Olympias.
You know, I want to go back toward the publicity end of this. What do you think about a certain weaselly magazine owner who offers weekend contracts or month-long contracts to keep athletes tied up and unable to interview with any other media sources, especially after winning a big show? Do you think this should be disallowed?
Like I say, there's a lot of things going on that I don't really agree with per se, but who am I? You know what I mean? I the way that people do things is the way that they do things. We don't necessarily have to like it or agree it. It doesn't even have to be right. But, you know, when you're in power, you kind of can, you know, kind of set the game. You kind of make the rules of the game. And if you know, if you're getting away with it, then who's going
to
stop you?
Well, but what do you think that says for the representation of the athletes? I mean, the athletes are supposed to have a representative. You know, obviously tying some guy up for 36 hours so he can't shoot with anyone else so you can exploit him to your own gain is detrimental in the long run to the...
Ethically, that might not be, you know, the right thing to do. But like I say, if the athlete has... You kind of said we're all starving artists. So if somebody dangles a carrot, you know, most people are going to nibble at it or at least, you know, look at it. Yeah, and you got to say that if no one else is asking you to shoot... And I'm not trying to go against your opinion, because I feel the same way, but if no one else is asking you to shoot until you've already done something, you know, they usually step up to the plate and grab you before you get popular, then you kind of, you feel a little loyalty to them, or at least you owe them something or something like that.
Yeah, but you know, so I think that... Tony, in college sports, you know, they make rules where athletes can't be, you know, pulled into the NBA too early at too young an age. You know, they kind of protect the athletes. Do you think in some degree, especially in the NPC, because these are not professionals, that maybe the NPC should protect these athletes by saying, you know what, I don't want these guys being exploited. They need, you know, we know what's best for these athletes. We don't want to allow like 1 month or 36-hour contracts to be, you know, binding or anything like that.
Well, in my opinion, I don't feel that amateurs should be paid contractually, maybe on a job-to-job basis.
Right.
But when you pay someone before they're pro, then what's their motivation to turn pro? That's what happened to a lot of these guys who got the contracts, you know, 4 years ago and still ain't pro.
Yeah, true.
So that I kind of feel like it should be something like the NCAA to where... You can't do it for money. You can do it for exposure, but you can't do it for money. That way, you separate pros from amateurs.
These guys still have to eat, though.
I mean, I know there's amateurs out there making, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, six figures, and there's pros out there not making anything. So
true. Yeah.
That's not cool at all.
We'll have to explore this area, John, at a later date.
I mean, you know, Tony just made a point. There's pros out. There's amateurs out there making bank, while there's pros making.
On what they're going to do, maybe,
right?
Possibly.
Well,
the pros is not getting nothing because the amateurs are taking up the contract.
Well, let's call a spade then. It's Trey Brewer, because a great example.
Oh yeah, of course.
You know, he got
yeah,
60,000.
But before Trey, you had Matt Duvall, you had Shant. I mean,
I had a contract.
Yeah,
I had a contract.
That did that. Yeah, you know, they were small contracts, but they were contracts nevertheless.
But there's still amateur status making money. So
exactly.
There should be some sort of regulation in the sense that, you know, if you're going to be a bodybuilder and represent the sport, and you're being held back in a certain degree in a certain regard because of contractual limitations, then you've got a guy who's an amateur who's being exploited by virtue of contractual obligations. There's a disconnect there because, you know, what's a pro and what's an amateur, and who's regulating all this?
Right, hold on 1 second. Hold on, the maid's trying to come in the room.
Tony's probably standing around naked.
Naked, the maid's
slung
hanging out.
Yes, 100%.
The bottom line, I think, and this is just my point, John, which is a little different from yours, is that I believe that the amateurs should be protected by the NPC. In other words, Jim Mannion should make rules that if you want to give an amateur a contract, that's fine, but it's got to be a year contract. There's none of this 1 month, 1 week, 1 day contracts, because this limits their exposure. Now, I disagree with what Tony says, only for the sheer fact that sometimes some of these guys don't turn pro till they're 40 years old.
Right.
I mean, so they shouldn't be allowed to make any money. I don't think that's good, because I think bodybuilding is weird.
I don't say they can't make money. What I'm saying is you're signing an amateur to a contract, and he's an amateur. I'm not saying he can't make money.
Right.
I'm not saying don't pay him.
Okay.
But I'm saying that, like I say, put it this way. If you try to sign a contract in college before you finish college, you can't play football.
Right.
You feel me? So that's what I mean. I mean, you know, these guys can go out and get jobs and make money, but they can't, you know, they can't be pros until you're pro.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, it's just a value type of thing.
Well, so it defines that.
You're turning pro if you're already making 150 grand.
Well, are you...
What are you training for?
How do you mean that? Do you mean that in terms of a bodybuilder is an amateur who's offered money to be promoted as a bodybuilder by a certain bodybuilding magazine or website? Are you saying that annihilates his amateur status?
Pretty much. He's pro. He's an amateur. I mean, he's a professional. He's getting paid to be a bodybuilder, so that's pro.
Maybe they should.
But he hasn't qualified to be a pro.
Interesting. They'll never do this, but it might be interesting, John, to make bodybuilding almost like boxing. When you want to turn pro, you turn pro. Mm-hmm. And when you don't want to turn, you know, if you don't want to turn pro, you don't have to. And then, you know, but if you want to make money, as Tony's saying, you'd have to turn pro.
Right.
Rather than make it a qualifying thing. Now, it would still benefit you to win the USA championships.
When these guys sign these amateurs, what are they signing them for? What is the reason? They're not professional. They're doing, basically going to do one show a year at the Nationals or whatever, trying to get the pro card.
Right.
So are they giving them the money to speed that process along, or are they giving them money so nobody else won't get them before they really make it? I mean, keep it real. The reason why they're doing it.
How far will $350 get you to tie you up for 36 hours? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, I'm not really talking about that percent. I'm talking about the real
contracts.
Like, go back to Trey. Trey was making some real money.
Yeah.
And Trey still hasn't cracked the top three yet.
No, it was to tie him up. That's what they're doing.
I'm not hating on Trey for making money. I'm just proving a point.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically, now he's not there. What did they really get out of it?
Bragging rights.
I think
they wanted bragging rights, whoever's, you know, but whatever.
Well, I mean, like I say, you know, and I'm telling you right now, if you work for a company and payday's Friday and you go in and they give you your check on Tuesday, you might miss a couple days that week.
You're 100% right.
That's just how humans are. We're going to take the path of least resistance. And if you pay me $100,000 to be an amateur, what the hell am I going to be a pro for? I'm making more money than 85% of the pros.
You're right.
Not that you don't want to be pro.
Right.
But I mean, you know, come on.
Motivation's not as, you're not as hungry.
You're not as hungry, and like I say, I mean, I guess everybody thought Trey was going to turn pro and all that, and he probably should have, and he may still do it one day, but he didn't. And that's been 4 years, 5 years. I mean, he had a contract before I did.
For more money, probably too.
Well, if you had been with us, if you had been potentially with us and us promoting you, you would have had the contract.
Oh boy!
Well, I mean, you know, we're all starving artists. We take what we can get. You know, I'm just proving a point that they spent a lot of money and the fruit didn't ripen. Mm-hmm. So that's all. You didn't gain from your investment.
I like that analogy, starving artist, because that's really what you are.
This is exactly what we are, brother. Trust me. I mean, I do this for free. I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to keep on whether I have a contract or not. 2008 Olympia, I got top five with no contract. Zero.
It's true. Yeah, nothing. So, right.
I did 8 shows that year out of my own pocket.
And it paid off for him too, luckily.
Yeah,
and it paid off. Yeah. But it made me hungry because I'm like, I'm a pro and I don't even have a deal, and there's amateurs walking around, you know, making six figures. Like I said, I'm not hating on them, but that's the fact. So I said, I got to step my game up. Mm. Now, if I'd have been making six figures, then I might not have done as well at the Olympia. I might have been like, oh, I'm straight. I'm cool. You know, blah, blah, blah. Especially if I was 23. Are you serious?
Yeah. Now, Tony, you have been on a pretty much of a rip of competition appearances. You did the Olympia last September. You did the Sacramento Pro, which you won. You did the Phoenix Pro earlier this year. You placed the controversial third. You did the Arnold, where you were fifth. You did skip Orlando, which you probably should have done because you probably would have won that. And now you're...
Well, because I want to do New York, and I already saw the handwriting on the wall. See, Phoenix taught me a lot about picking your show, pick and choosing your shows. So I definitely didn't want a repeat of Phoenix.
Right.
So I was like, I'll just save it for New York.
Mm. Now you are doing New York. Why are you, and New York's going to be coming up in 10 days. Why all the competing? Why are you hitting so many shows? Is there a strategy here?
I mean, Dave, you know me. You know, that's how I get better, just by doing it. Right. There's nothing in this world that you cannot do and get better at. You have to keep doing stuff. Whatever you want to be the best at, you have to do it. These guys are doing one show a year. That's why it's so hit or miss. Now, everybody says Tony's not consistent. I'm like, I did 8 shows, so 5 out of 8 of them I was on. So, I missed a couple times. I busted a bursa sack, you know, dehydrated myself, you know, had an infection one show. Shit happens. But I did so many shows that there's things to refer to. But if you only did one show, like Dennis Wolf, he's done 3 shows in 3 years. Did good the first two, then he came this year, year where you figure if you take a whole year off, you should come back if nothing else bigger or something. He just didn't. And that's what happens because you get out of practice.
All right,
you put on a lot of muscle if you're not the same person as you were last time. So you got to do it different. You got to change it up. And that's why I keep competing. Because, I went up to 323 after Arnold. I got new muscle on me now. I got to figure out how to bring that back in. I can't wait till the old to do it. I might mess up.
So you're experimenting now is what you're doing.
Exactly.
So, okay. Enough.
I'm bodybuilding. I'm progressing. I'm 50 pounds heavier than I was when I turned pro.
All right.
On stage.
Let's talk about that.
I'm not competing at the same weight that I've turned pro at, and I'm just, maintaining or bringing the same package over and over and over. Every time you see me, I'm different.
Let's talk about that. This is going to be a little controversial. You're probably not going to like this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. It seems that, lately, even though you're the X-Man and you've been placing, top three in pretty much every show you enter, and, there's no question you're a top dog and a force to be reckoned with. Having said that, and of course that's with the exception of the Arnold and the Olympia, but having said that, you don't seem to be bringing that dry, hard appearance that you had at the 2008 Mr. Olympia, where you arguably were the best you ever were and sort of mistakenly put in fifth. Some thought you should have won. Are you trying to come in bigger and fuller at the expense of conditioning, or have you just missed your peak, or why? Where's that 2008 condition?
Where you were 2008, I did 9 contests. The Olympia was my 9th show. I stayed on my diet the entire year. So what happens is you don't get a chance to put on body fat. So you just basically getting better and better and better and better. So what I did was I listened to the crowd tell me, you need to just save it for the Olympia. So you go put on muscle. Now you got new muscle, and now you're going to try to do the same program that you did before, and it doesn't work. Because you got 8, 10, 12, 15 more pounds. In my case, it was like 27 pounds more to work with that I couldn't do it the same way. So it's a learning curve. So as I progress through this year, I'm peaking for the O again. I should be in my best condition again. But I beg to differ. I thought that what I brought to the Arnold this year was close to my best ever. Now, I was standing over there in the dark on the end, but everybody that they took next to, I beat. So if they didn't stand me next to the other four, then you don't know what I look like next to them until they called me out after the scoring was already over. Go look back and look at the pictures and tell me that I wasn't hanging with them dudes or beating them. You can tell me I wasn't better than Dexter and Branch or as good.
I'm going to give you your props. I'm going to say that in that lineup, the only person I thought you weren't better than was Phil Heath, because Phil Heath's conditioning was right on. However, I still don't think you were best. I probably would have had you second.
Of course.
But you could have been better.
But guess what?
Yeah.
2009 Arnold Classic. I woke up at 261 on Saturday morning.
Wow.
2010 Arnold Classic. I woke up at 279 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So, who else is doing that? Who else is putting on 12 pounds of contest weight and not being that far away from your last condition?
At 45 years old.
Damn,
I'm 45 now? I was 43.
Oh, you're only 43?
I have one birthday a year. Y'all quit talking to Sean. He goes by
twos. Yeah, Sean has got you almost 50 years old by now, I think.
Exactly. I'm younger than Sean. How old is he?
He hasn't aged a year since he turned 40. I don't know.
Thank you. I'm like, y'all need to quit counting by twos. First and foremost, when you bring up my age and I'm competing against guys that are 28, 29, 30, 32, it's not making me look bad. It's making them look bad.
That's true. You're right.
It's not bad for me. It's not in one bit. they're like, how the hell are you still doing it?
Because you take care of yourself.
Right.
Well, this brings me to my next question. People love to hear about all your alternative treatments, your therapies you employ to keep your waist small, to keep you looking young, to aid your recovery from training. Give me a snapshot view of a typical week of Tony Freeman while preparing for a show. Tell us about the ozone colonics, the oxygen treatments, the antioxidant infusions, all that crazy stuff. What do you do?
I don't know if it's necessary. I do a lot, Dave, you know that. But, of course I do the colonics. The colonics do a couple of things. They're ozone colonics, so they detoxify your body on a cellular level. They remove all the garbage out of your colon. They, you know, purge your liver, flush out your kidneys, oxygenate every cell in your body. So, I mean, even if you don't know anything, you just know that that has to be doing something good for you. Mm-hmm. And it also really helps with your absorption of your food, because nothing's blocking the food from passing through the membranes. So that's why I really do that. The IVs is just to make sure that, you know, I got all the things that I need to stay healthy, my immune system. Usually what I do is call it an immune booster. So it's like grams of vitamin C and all the other, you know, essential nutrients that you need to be healthy. Because, you know, we do a lot of things to our body that aren't the healthiest thing in the world. So
right.
I want to counteract that, because I got kids. I want to have a life after this. I don't want to be all jacked up and, you know, used up and has been. So I still want to be, you know, pretty close to what I am right now, even though I'm not on stage.
How often do you do the colonics and the IV infusions and all that stuff? How many times a week or a month?
Usually just after the show and before the show. You know, it just depends. Like, I didn't do it after the Arnold, which I probably should have, but I'm going to do it after New York. Mm-hmm. So I probably do it, like, at least once a quarter.
Gotcha.
You know, but like when I was in training in Seattle, I was doing it every Tuesday. I did that for like 8 weeks straight. But, you know, like I said, I've got myself so cleaned out that I don't have to do it as much anymore.
Gotcha. So nothing's coming out when they're doing it, because you're so, your colon is so spot. Like, you could eat off his colon, John. It's so clean.
Well, now I go more for the ozone.
Right.
I mean, that ozone is amazing. So, you know, I'm not necessarily cleansing as much anymore. I go for the ozone treatment.
What, can you get, like, ozone just infused into your veins without having to go through it getting shoved up your butt?
Probably. I just don't really... You know, I'm not sure. I know that they take your butt out and spin it and clean it out and put it back in.
Really?
I mean, I don't, you know, yeah.
I
have no idea. It's all kind of crazy.
I want to know how hot the attendant is that gives you the colonic, because something's keeping you back.
To be honest with you, I have several people that do it, but the ozone colonic is actually a guy.
Wow.
So he's a really cool dude. You know, I was kind of leery at first, but he's cool. He's very professional, and he knows what he's doing. So, you know, I have no problems with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I prefer, I like the whole concept of it, but I don't like the idea of them, you know, with the going up the butt thing. So I prefer to do the blood thing. Is the blood thing something you can go into a clinic around here and get it done, or is it, this is like in certain areas they do it?
I only know one place that does the blood thing. He doesn't really do it that often unless you're really sick.
Mm.
You know, because the cologne, thing number one is expensive, but colonic is just so much easier.
They are.
Take an hour, you're done.
Wow.
It's not that you can only do a pint of blood at a time. You can't, like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so they only do it, you have to go back for repeated treatments with that?
Yeah, like I said, it's expensive. It's a pain in the butt. You got to sit there. Colonic, you're in there and you're out of there in an hour. Yeah. And you're good to go. You could feel the difference and see the difference immediately.
Hmm. Well, it's not really a pain in the butt, but the colonic is a pain in the butt.
You know, I mean, it's a small tube. It's nothing, you know. It's very non-invasive. I mean, you know, unless you just are, you know, whatever, phobic about somebody being in that region, then it's not that big.
So it's not uncomfortable is what you're saying?
No.
All right.
Not at all. I actually have a friend of mine. He makes nutritional suppositories.
Right.
That's my new thing. That's really... Really, really, seriously, that's a whole other level of nutrition.
Carl Lenore would love
that. No digestion necessary, 99% absorbable. I mean, it's really insane.
Now, is that illegal? Because I know that delivery systems can kind of be construed as like drug-like, and this mums that runs, you run into a very gray area in terms of, can you sell these things?
Well, he's just doing all supplements, like, you know, I have leucine, HMB, multivitamin, calcium, magnesium, what else, reduced glutathione.
And do you feel these things work well? You've tried it?
Oh, dude, they work amazingly. That's why I'm putting on so much muscle. Because, you know, you can only eat so much protein, and then your body is going to process some of it and burn it as glycogen. You know, some of it's going to be used to build muscle. So this right here is directly absorbed into your bloodstream, so it goes where it's needed. So you take it before and after you train, then it's only, you know, especially the leucine, it's just increasing your protein synthesis, so...
So let's talk about the New York Pro. I'm going to talk about you in the third person. What's the X-Man expected to weigh in at the New York Pro show?
Well, I just left the gym, 295 right now.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, everything's in. So it's just, you know, going to go through the whole, I haven't had carbs other than one. I have carbs one day this week. in the last 10 days, I've had carbs twice. And so I'm already low as far as that goes. I'm going to take the fats out this week, and I should be 84, 83 maybe.
Wow, it's good weight for you.
I hit the stage.
It's good weight for you.
Good weight. Now you have guys such as Dennis Wolf, you know, this new guy Rolly Winkler, and of course Hiatada Yamagishi, who beat you in Phoenix and who just won the Orlando.
No, he placed ahead of me. He didn't beat me. He placed ahead of me. Keep it real.
I feel you. All right, I feel you. He placed ahead of you. It wasn't your fault. And
I was sweating. Remember?
Yeah, that's right. They said he was. They did sell that. They told me he was sweating.
That was the reason. You're sweating.
Yeah, and we did five comparisons in the first call out. That's like telling Kobe you're gonna run a whole game of half court. I mean, whole game of full court without sweating. No, you can't sweat. Now just go out there and run your hardest. So that's 32 mandatories and 16 quarter turns, and I'm not supposed to sweat.
And he outweighed everyone by 60 pounds
right,
too.
Right. And then he was under the light. No sweating allowed. I've known you for a long time, and I know you don't sweat the competition. But you know, going in, do you like ever, you know, consider these guys, worry about them, or you know, or are you just in a zone? You're in the Tony zone, and you don't care about anybody else.
I do. But I mean, you gotta understand, I don't really mind losing as long as you beat me. I mean, I want to get beat by the best.
Right.
But when you leave the building feeling like you were the best and you still didn't win, I mean, what do you do from there? So I have no problem losing. I mean, you know, there's guys, you know, if I'm off, then I'm off. But if you ever notice in the lineup, I'm the first person congratulating the person that plays in front of me.
Yeah, no, you're very gracious. So, you're gracious. Yep, you know, you are.
I'm not a sore loser, but, you know, it's hard being 6'2", 280 pounds, losing to somebody 5'4", 210. It's just not, it's hard to swallow. Period, because you can't comprehend it.
Right.
Especially when my waist is the same size as his. It's like I'm not getting any recognition for the fact that I'm pretty much an anomaly. There's no one else on the planet walking around looking like me.
You're right. He's not lying, John. He's not lying. No, I know. He's not. He's a genetic gift to the guy, from the gods.
I'm not supposed to be able to do what I'm doing because of my height and my age and my bone structure. But I'm doing it anyway. So, I mean, I'm 60 pounds heavier than Arnold was.
Tony is the black bodybuilding bumblebee.
That's right.
He's flying.
What? What are you saying?
The bumblebee, aerodynamically, physically, a bumblebee is not supposed to be able to fly. But
it's too big.
But no one told to be.
Exactly. No one, you know, people try to tell me that I can't do stuff, and that just makes me go back and say, I bet you I can. And I just run and do it. I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day about criticism. I love criticism because I can't see myself the way that people see me. So when you tell me something's wrong or something's whatever, then I'm like, okay, cool, then I'll go fix it. If you notice, everything that people knocked me on, I pretty much corrected it.
Yeah, you did.
So they said I need to be heavier. They said, you know, I'm heavier. They said I needed bigger arms. My arms are ridiculous now, you know. So I'm just going to keep on criticizing. I'm going to keep on getting better.
The best thing that ever happened to Tony John was losing that Flex magazine contract, because now he's mad and he's hungry.
Yeah.
You'll probably be 10 times better at the next couple shows you compete at, I'm sure.
Wait till y'all see me at the O. I mean, I've got 22 weeks after New York, and I'm already planning for it. Man, he kind of said, I can put on another 30 and still have a 33-inch weight.
If Xenadrine drops him, forget about it. He'll win the Olympia.
Yeah, guaranteed. Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Now, they're giving me nothing but love. So
unless they just,
you know, drop the line, the brand, yeah, I should be good. But no. I got like 15, 20 people waiting in the wings for that, too. So it's all good.
Nah, yeah. I think they really take good care of you. You're in all the ads.
They really do, man. I love it. It's a cush job. I love it.
So, well, Tony, we know you got to go to the airport. I appreciate you taking time in between contracts and in between traveling to talk to us, and we'll see you in New York in 10 days, and hopefully the X-Man will cometh again.
He will definitely be there. Like I say, I wish you could see what I look like right now. I'll send you some pictures later, Dave.
You're in trouble either.
Yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, I might go ahead and put them on RX Muscle.
Wow. There you go. All right. That's cool.
Hurry up.
All right, player. Y'all take it easy.
You know, John, Tony's just, I love talking to Tony. I missed actually having him on the show the last 2 years since he was working for Flex. And I'm glad we got him before someone else snaps him up, because my suspicions tell me that probably Blackman is going to try to sign him, I'm sure, because he's probably hurting over the Kai Green thing.
He's probably heard about all those colonics that he wants in.
Now, you know, Tony mentioned something really funny. You know, he's talking about suppository supplements, and I just kept thinking Carl Lenore.
Let me speak. You guys never let me talk anymore. It's like every time I come to the show, you mention my name, you don't let me talk. Look, I used to take suppositories of GHB. And the fucking high I felt. My wife felt it. God bless her fucking soul. I hate the bitch. But she still got high off of it. It was fantastic.
GHB enemas, right?
GHB enema suppository.
You know, if the anal route was not more absorptive, John, than the oral route, I would have to think that the eye route, right? The retina.
If you put it in your retina, but you see, the first thing you have to do, you have to put it inside the eyelid. You let it rest there as like a receptacle for 5 to 6 hours. You mix it with a little GHB. But everything you must attach everything with a little GHB just to get that rush.
I told you, sir, I put GHB in my eye once before. I had it in an eyedropper bottle. I was trying to my lenses out, and it did not feel very good, and I did not get high from it. So, just want to let you guys know:
don't try that at home.
Carl's hysterically funny. You know, I love when he talks about drugs and stuff like that. I just think that he's a genius when he gives his stories about what he did when he was younger. And the funny thing is that we always joke about putting paint chips in your eye. You know, Jeff always does that impression of him, but evidently he didn't put paint chips. He put
window pane. It's called window pane.
Yeah, what is window pane?
Window pane is acid.
Exactly right. It's just the little things that are shaped
it's like a little.
It's
like blotter, but it's only right. At least like it looks like plastic.
Right now we knew that, but the running joke was that he would put paint chips right. In his fucking eyes.
Like the lead on the window.
Right.
I just wanted to clarify that, because a lot of people who are listening may not have understood that joke.
By the way, shalom and gizadish, because I actually am the expert on this. And if you actually chew the window pane, it will actually affect your system a lot quicker.
You can actually grind it up, I thought, and chew it. Right.
But that's only when I'm really feeling like, getting fucking wrecked. Otherwise, I just snort mountains, that's all.
No, according to Aaron, he does not snort. He never was a snorter, right? He was just he was a shooter.
Well, when you think of snorting is a total waste. I mean, if you think
about
it.
You lose a lot, right?
Yeah, I mean, you lose tons, and it's, you have this residual, annoyance after the fact. I mean, how can you snort an 8-ball over the course of a whole freaking night and then wake up the next day and just blow your nose and go on about your business?
John, you make very valid statements, and that's why I have you as my co-host, because without you, who would ever think of these things? Well, anyway, well, we had a great show tonight. Johnny, I want to just thank Tony for calling in, and he's a class act, and we'll see him in 10 days in New York. We'll be there in full force. For now, we're out of time. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.